It's 11 o'clock and we're going to continue the theme and stay in the cinema as Max Reinhardt brings you the first of this week's editions of Late Junction.
Welcome to the 14th birthday edition of Late Junction. Yes, Late Junction's been going for 14 years now. We've been playing music and sound of all descriptions from anywhere in the world we can find it. From the Big Bang to the last syllable of recorded time, we hope we've got it covered. And thanks very much for listening for those 14 years, or if you've only just started listening, do stay with us. Now, that was Asha Bhosle. For many people, she's the playback queen of Bollywood movies. And if she isn't, it's Lata Mangeshkar, and we'll be playing her later in the week. The tune was Ab Ke Baras Bej Bhaiya. And that was a title suggested by Russ Beebe, who tweeted us in last Friday, I think we got that. It's from director Bimal Roy's 1963 movie Bandini, in which the heroine, who's banged up on a life sentence for murder, has to choose between the loving prison doctor or the badden from her past. I suppose it makes the time pass more quickly for her. Now, you can expect loads more film music from all over the world right across this week and right across the next 3 weeks on Late Junction, because we're in the middle of an orgiastic celebration of film music across the BBC, Sound of the Cinema. And each night this week, I'll be talking to Mike Figgis, one of the visionary auteurs of British cinema, about how he weaves visuals and music together. Now, if you want to see a film in which gangsters and arranged marriages and drugs and gypsy music all flow together in a strange Yugoslav confection, well, it's going to be Emir Kusturica's Black Cat, White Cat. And from that, this is Buba Mara.
I wanna look like a bird, careless, weightless, and free. I wanna look like a bird, careless, weightless, and free. To perch like a yellow hammer, to have a grackle's gait, to wander marigold blossoms, or feather and fly away. Like the trees grew for standing, and they stand for me. Like the trees grow branches, and they stand for me. I wanna look like a bird, scissor wings and split the sky. I wanna look like a bird, like I don't know about falling, or what it is to cry. To look like a bird, careless in a world like tears are foreign to my eyes. I wanna look like a bird, stare raven cold.
Look Like a Bird by Amanda Shires. She's a sassy fiddle player, singer-songwriter from Lubbock, Texas. And she sang she wants to be careless, weightless and free and to know her place in the world, which is, of course, above it, if you're a bird. Before that, Chilly Gonzalez, with a piece he wrote called Isha, presumably a tribute to Dutch graphic artist MC Isha, whose prints depict apparently logical but ultimately impossible structures. Talking of which, here's a piece from the People Band. They were founded in the mid-60s, along with Cornelius Cardew's AMM and John Stevens and Trevor Watts' Spontaneous Music Ensemble. Anarchic was their keyword, music that supersedes all boundaries and limitations and becomes a spiritual experience. It's worth noting that almost all its members sought their spiritual experience later on in Kilburn and the High Roads with Ian Drury. And on trumpet and flugelhorn and Spanish guitar, you can hear Mike Figgis, of whom much more later.
Thank you. Yen yesa nun turari aman son yai yen.
Yeah, Bariba music from Benin. That was vocalist Hawao Capera with Group Super performing Amankin Numakin. And with a lyric which is a weird blend of respect and alienation, probably Freudians would think this is quite right too. My mother, if you love me, I love you. But should I offend you, please forgive me. Which is probably a good time to say that if you've got anything to say about Late Junction tonight, we'd like to hear from you. Tweet us at BBC Radio 3, hashtag Late Junction. There's a lot going on and you'll find it quite entertaining if you follow it. Three pieces of soundtrack music now, starting with this. Thomas Studies Photos, one of the darkroom sequences from Antonini's 1966 depiction of swinging London, Blow Up. The music's composed, conducted and played by Herbie Hancock.
চিরুনি পর আসবে এখনই নিয়ে যাবে তখনই দোল দোল দোলনি রাঙা মাথায় চিরুনি পর আসবে এখনই নিয়ে যাবে তখনই
from the soundtrack of Costa Rica's Black Cat, White Cat. That's Railway Station. And that's a scene which connects with the plot because Matko, a small-time Roma smuggler and profiteer, has plans to acquire a whole train full of smuggled fuel. And I think he's staking out the station during that music. Before that, from the soundtrack of Brick Lane, singer and actress Danisa Chatterjee sings Jocelyn Pook's arrangement of Dol Dol Dolouni. I think it's a Bengali children's song. Tweet and let me know if you know better. That's at BBC Radio 3, #LateJunction. Now, when Brazilian band Graviola came to play on our stage in the Lavish Lounge at Latitude Festival back in July, they brought a small pile of CDs with them, filled with music by their contemporaries from the city of Belo Horizonte, which is in the state of Minas Gerais in southeast Brazil. Amongst them was Radar Rock by Thiakov, and from it, this track, Aguila.
Segure minha mão, não se esqueça. Enquanto dança, de olhar pro chão. E caso se perder num pensamento vão, e os pés voarem em direção aos céus, ouça a voz que canta pra você.
Bizarre, brilliant, you are bright as door, the star, you light the morn. The sheets from underneath, impelled, you're sweet, the hills, you're sweet, your heart, your soul, your heart's key. You dream and dream, your mouth and lane, your eyes.
Bizarre.
Bring Down the Birds, an outtake from Herbie Hancock's soundtrack of Antonini's Blow Up. Now, sharp-eared persons of a certain age are going to recognise that groove as the basis of Delight's Groove Is in the Heart, a 1990 hit that still haunts dance floors. Before that, Hooper, from that Diamond Lust, an album by Mishkin's Ruby Warblers. Mishkin crowdfunded that album once she felt that all of her songs of heartbreak had turned lacy enough to see light through. So light, they could catch an updraft and float, rather than an overdraft and sink, I guess. Anyway, Mishkin did a session on World on Three last November, and the clip is still available online and well worth listening if you just go to the World on Three page on our website. And you can also find all the details on our Late Junction page on the BBC website. All the details of all the music I'm playing tonight, and you can listen again to this programme to your heart's content over the next 7 days. Now for Flying Ibex, who started life as a house band, improvising to silent films, so they fit into this programme very well. It's largely the brainchild of Barnaby Keane, who also appears with his brothers in the band Electric Jalabar, which delighted us live on our stage at Latitude on a sunny summer afternoon. Only 2 months ago, it seems like longer, it's so cold and wet. This is You Steer Your Ship.
You got your fire. D's are gonna meet you at the German bar. Standing at the station, your ticket in your hand. Let's make train is a coming, prepare to join the band. And little back train is coming. All your band and red, better get your house in order. Train will be here
Death Black Train by Charlie Parr and the Black Twig Pickers, recorded in the shed in Oronto, Virginia, after a long drive back from Kentucky, so they say. Before that, more from Jocelyn Pook's score for Brick Lane, the movie based on Monica Ali's novel. The piece was called Picnic at the Palace, in which Jocelyn's viola was joined by Sumit Datta on sarod. More later from that soundtrack, but now it's time for the first part of the conversation I had with award-winning UK director and composer Mike Figgis. Now, you might have seen his movie Leaving Las Vegas, in which Nicolas Cage's terminal alcoholic and Elizabeth Shue's prostitute find fleeting solace together from all the forces which threaten their very survival. They don't survive very long. Or his pioneering movies Time Code or Hotel. What you may not know is that he was a musician before he was any other kind of artist. Back in the 60s, he was in Brian Ferry's first band. And as we heard earlier tonight, he was in the People Band. In fact, the People Band musos feature as a free jazz band, actually, in his first feature movie, Stormy Monday, along with Sting, as it goes. Anyhow, when Mike Figgis got into our studio, the first thing he did was sit at the grand piano and play for us. Mike Figgis, welcome. So that piece of music that you just played us on the piano, was that from a film of yours?
It was a little improvisation that I did when I was doing the score for Liebestraum. And I can't remember exactly why, but I think I had written something and it didn't really work. And my friend Gemma said, why don't you just, you know, maybe just play some solo piano. It was a kind of wistful couple of moments in the film, and it was for one of those. It was kind of reflective, and I think the main character, Nick, he was coming to terms with the fact that his mother was dying, and so it was kind of a sad moment, and I just put some strings on underneath it.
So you'd shot the scene?
Oh, yeah.
And then you put the music on at the stage of editing?
Mm-hmm.
Always the way that you do it?
Well, I studied music, and so when I was in a performance art group, the People Show, and then I had my own company, I was still writing all the music for that. And music has always been an integral part of my life, so I've always carried on. And then as luck would have it, you know, the first film I made, you know, the budget was small. the producer was very happy for me to be the writer, director, composer.
Has that ever been a problem to you, sort of being a polymath, being, you know, somebody who not only is the screenwriter and the director, and you're often the casting director, aren't you, but you also do the camera work often?
Mm-hmm.
And you write the music. I mean, that's pretty comprehensive.
You know, the great thing about film, or the good and the bad news, is it's very slow. You're not in conflict with your job description when you write it, because that's what you're writing a new film. In the best of all worlds, you know, you then you're directing, and then it's over, and then you're editing, because that's your next job.
And is that when you think about the music?
I think about the music all the time in a sort of innate way. So one of the things that drew me to filmmaking, without a doubt, was sound. And I remember very, very clearly things like certain scores that I heard when I was very young, like 17 or 18. I still remember Quincy Jones's score for In Cold Blood. And I remember also when I was very young, finding this quote from Stevie Wonder. Somebody asked him, you know, what did he do to relax? And he said, I go to the cinema. And Stevie Wonder, as I'm sure everybody knows, is blind. And he said, I just love the quality of the soundtrack in cinema. And when you go into a cinema space, the sound, it has a unique quality. And it does. Something about cinema sound and the way music sounds in the cinema and so on, and voices. So as soon as I started making films, I couldn't wait actually to start putting the sound on, because that's in a way the most exciting part. You sort of, when you reanimate the film from all the little pieces, you know, you've worked with your actors, you chop them into tiny pieces, and then you reassemble them in a kind of artificial way. And then suddenly the moment when you add the music, it's almost like you've reanimated it and you've given it life again.
We will get back to that in a moment, but first of all, I think we're hungry to hear an example of this. And this is, you've called it Get Out. It's from Leaving Las Vegas. Mm. Is this the final sequence when the Nicolas Cage character is dying on the bed?
No, it's when he betrays her with a hooker, and she comes back and sees them both. And she's so devastated, she actually says, get out, which is what the title comes from.
So it's a bit like a cry from the soul, isn't it?
Absolutely. And then she's by herself and she's devastated.
Well, who was singing on that?
Maggie Nichols. What I try and do when I make films, both in casting the actors and in also then inviting musicians to participate on the score, is to kind of stay true to my roots and use musicians and actors as often as possible.
So did you play with Maggie Nichols back in time?
Of course, in the People Band, and she was part of, and still is part of, the free music scene. I knew about this amazing gift that she has. Her range is incredible, and she can also jump octaves. And
she can sing several notes simultaneously.
Yeah, like her and Phil Minton can both do this, you know, harmonized voice thing. So in this particular instance, I invited Maggie to come in and sing on this track. I created a kind of sort of, let's say, a sort of Baroque style kind of bass for her. And then I did what I usually do, which is I showed her the scene, you know, and then she just went straight in and sang. And she was kind of devastated by the scene to start off with. And she went, "Oh, Mike, that's so sad, you know. Oh, gosh, what happens next?" And I said, "Well, I'll show you a bit later, you know." But she just went in and then started, and she's immediately still with a kind of feeling. And she sang. Again, this is something I like the musicians to do, to watch the film as they're playing. So, of course, inspired way back by the Miles Davis Lift to the Scaffold legendary session.
Which we'll hear more tomorrow night, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a track that you've chosen.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to move on to what you've called Max and Karam from One Night Stand. And that's the film that came after Leaving Las Vegas?
Yes, it did.
So tell us about the music for that. How did you reach this sound that we're going to hear?
Well, this was the first time in my life that I had budget as a composer. And also I was...
Was that on the back of the
Living
Great
Las Vegas?
Success? Yeah.
You know, so when I did Living Las Vegas, I would say I was at the lowest rung on the food chain in terms of being a feature film director. I'd gone through various mills. I had blotted my copybook. I had argued with the wrong people, etc.
Have you always argued with the wrong people?
Not on purpose. I mean, just if someone says something really repetitively stupid at a certain point, you argue. I mean, you're an adult. And we're supposed to be in a creative industry, and it's like, just because somebody's a very, very rich producer doesn't mean that they can't take an answer. However, that was maybe using the F word to this person also wasn't great. So then, lo and behold, it was a hit and a success and did that and all those things. And so on the back of that, I took another film from New Line, which Joe Esterhaz had written. They'd bought it for, I think, $2 or $3 million. They offered it to me. They sort of said, "Well, you know, you can rewrite it if you want to." And one of my favorite films was Truffaut's The Woman Next Door. And there was a kind of echo in this of like a couple who were lovers who then meet again by accident. So I kind of re-engineered page one rewrote the script. And it's one of my favorite films. Unfortunately, it was not a success in America. I did okay here. But the good news was I had suddenly had a big budget for music. And I used for the first time an orchestra and a chorus and an arranger and a big studio. So I kind of knuckled down and I wrote a kind of a formal score. And I also wrote what I think is a very traditional, formal, romantic theme. And I worked with a wonderful arranger, Nick, who's terribly sympathetic. So basically I'd worked on keyboards, I'd written all this stuff, and we then translated that into, obviously, lots of pieces of music for an entire orchestra. And then I said, you know, in terms of the orchestration, I'd love a sort of Nelson Riddle kind of sound to this, a 60s Nelson Riddle. And he knew exactly what I meant. So this is an example of that.
Thank you.
That's the Max and Karen theme from Mike Figgis's One Night Stand. And we've got Mike Figgis here, and we're having a long chat with him on Lake Junction tonight. We're going to look at different ways that you use music as this week goes by. One way you use music was on Time Code, which is famously you divide the screen in four and
shot in real time,
so that there are four narratives going on
in parallel.
Yeah, a bit like a fugue. But apparently you wrote it as music and handed the music to the actors.
Yeah.
So what did that music look like? Was it on staves or...?
Filmmaking is a series of challenges and problems to be solved. Having conceived of the idea of four parallel narratives in real time, then you kind of go, oh, well, how do you write that? You can't use a conventional script structure because that's an A4 piece of paper with one narrative on it going cut, cut, cut. I don't have any cuts. And I need to know how the four narratives are kind of jiving with each other, or, you know, are they in sympathy, or do I need to... And I need to have a document that I can adjust. So I took a piece of paper and I folded it into four columns. And then I thought, this is useless. So I can get maybe two or three words per column. And I kind of played around with it. And then suddenly, because I studied music, I went, hang on, this is so obvious. This is a string quartet. You know, and the brilliance of a music paper and music writing is that it's already conceived of as parallel narrative, and it already has a time-based structure, which is, you know, here's the tempo, and every bar represents an exact measure of that tempo. So I got out my music paper and I marked it up into a string quartet.
And it was absolutely pioneering, wasn't it? Because there's a television series that wouldn't exist without it.
Yeah, 24, definitely. I mean, they're fair enough to those guys. They tipped the nod and they acknowledged that it was Time Code that gave them the idea.
But you didn't leave the idea there, did you? I mean, in fact, the next piece of music, in fact, the last piece of music that we're here tonight from you, is Valerio Italiano from Hotel. Mm-hmm. And Hotel uses... the four screens, doesn't
sometimes.
It? For some of it,
two
yes.
screens sometimes, one screen sometimes.
So what's happening when we hear Valerio Italiano?
Well, actually nothing, because I scored this for the film and then I decided to use something else. But I really like the piece of music and it's sitting there waiting to be used in another film now. I chose it because it's pure piece of film music and I think really plants a very sweet kiss on a certain kind of Italian cinema and a certain kind of Italian musical sound with the electric guitar. Morricone's my hero and et cetera, et cetera. So I thought it would be nice for you to hear it.
Tu mi butti giù, come faceva Corabella quella. Tu mi butti giù. Thank you. per te, sei sempre tu. Se non ci sei, mi ammazzo. Allora.
So, Valeriani Italiano. That is apparently the correct title, though that wasn't what I was saying when Mike Figgis was actually with me. Sorry about that, Mike. And it was originally scored for his film Hotel, but not used, and it's going to be used in another film sometime soon. More from Mike Figgis tomorrow night. He'll be featuring tracks by Miles Davis, Morricone and Shostakovich. And thanks very much to Judy at Vintage Homespun is her Twitter handle, if they're called handles on Twitter. And she tweeted in and told me all about how the People Band had become the free jazz band in Stormy Monday. So thank you very much. And apparently her husband played in the People Band, but I don't know who he was yet. But I might as the evening goes on. So last week we put out a call for suggestions for film music from listeners, and they came in. They came in by the sack load. Well, if you've only got a small sack. And Keith in Seville said that the first powerful piece of music that he heard in a film which blew him away, as well as the film itself, was the Kyrie from An African Mass, played to great effect in Laurie Anderson's If. Well, that just may be. But in fact, that's not quite the way it was. Because, yes, there is a piece of the African Mass Missa Luba played in If, but it's not the Kyrie. It's not the Kyrie at all. It is, in fact, the Sanctus. You can see the Kyrie used, actually, in a Mexican movie called Un Alma Pura from 1965, or the MGM film The Singing Nun. 1966. The internet is very much a great research tool. Anyway, it's a great part of the movie If. Malcolm McDowell and a woman who is serving in the transport cafe getting together during this, and at some point Malcolm goes over to the jukebox, puts his coins in, presses the button, and what comes out is Congolese music. That's never happened to me, ever. This is the Sanctus from Missa Luba, and it's by Les Troubadours du Roi Balouin.
the day as if on an ocean, waiting here, always failing to remember why we came. I wonder why we came.
Brian Eno, with a song which I think owes quite a lot to Syd Barrett and Pink Floyd, but he apparently wrote it with Rodelius and Moebius. It's from his 1977 album, Before and After Science, which must have been quite a nice relief from all the dark bombast of the Berlin trilogy he was working on with Bowie at the same time. I'm back tomorrow night with music from films like Paris, Texas and Heaven's Door, and another instalment of my conversation with Mike Figgis. I'll leave you tonight with the main titles theme from Black Cat, White Cat, Bubamara. But first, Quiet Joy from Jocelyn Pook's soundtrack for Brick Lane. That's a film directed by Sarah Gavron. And the singer is Manikam Yogeshwaran. Good night. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Tamara Sose Nichevel. Devoa, Devoa, Mangavoa. Buba mara koha počinel, eiro malen ašunen, eča voren kugle zurale, buba mara čajorni, baro grga vojsi ođili.
Džinji rinji buba maro ciknije, šužije, ajde moli vojro meza. Čužije, ajde moli voj romesa. Čalale, romale, čalale, romale, čalale, romale, čalale, romale, ave nekjela.
Za romale ne pučela, ode oni fuzu i čudela, dela, dela sa čarle, Buba maru vojte arese, peiro male našunen, eča oren kugle šukaren, život osi rigi špil, traje.